Welcome to the blogcast Mujeres Fronterizas. My name is Sofia Rodriguez McGoffin, and this is the next installment in a series for the Sky Island Alliance featuring women in conservation in the borderlands. For today's episode, I interview Edna Mendoza, who recently retired from her position as manager of the Office of Regional and Border Assistance for the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality. During her 30-year tenure in government service, Edna also served in roles of environmental compliance inspector with the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality and various roles supporting border programs. Under her leadership, the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality developed the first binational state-to-state environmental strategic plan. After retiring from government service in January of 2023, Edna and her sister opened Apricot Lane Boutique in Tucson, Arizona in May 2023. Thank you, Edna, for joining us. My first question for you is, where were you born and raised?
Well, thank you for inviting me, and I'm excited to be here with you. I think this is a fantastic process that you're going through. So I am the oldest of six, and I was born and raised in Nogales, Arizona, a border town. And I grew up in Nogales at a time when the border was less, I don't want to say structured, but it was more, much more of a feeling of one community. So you could go across the border and back, and, you know, you had friends on both sides of the border all the time. And it was just a very wholesome experience.
Yeah, it sounds like a completely different experience to what it would be like growing up now.
Right.
And so much more freedom.
Yes.
Do you have family on both sides of the border?
I have relatives on the Mexican side of the border, the Sonora side of the border, but not more like their cousins or comadres, you know, that kind of thing. But most of my family is on the Arizona side.
I see.
Or spread throughout the states.
I see. So I'd love to ask you about your career journey. And I'm wondering, before we get into what you do, I'm curious to know if that experience of growing up in a border town influenced you in your trajectory in any way.
Sure. So I'm sure it did, but I can't quantify exactly where, you know, if it was a specific incident or incidences or anything like that. But I do recall that from a very young age, I always thought of going into a science-based career. And the more I was focused on what I wanted to do with my future, I just gravitated towards environmental sciences. Mm-hmm. And at the time when I was getting ready to go to college, I didn't really have a whole lot of, I don't really want to say, you know, like nobody supported me or anything like that, but it was just not something as common to see young ladies going into a field that was more science-based versus more of the traditional fields like, you know, other young ladies or parents would want to see their young ladies or daughters go into.
So you said it's a focus on environmental science that kind of came from this, that had maybe its influences in where you were born and where you were raised. And I'm curious, could you outline your career journey? So from your first job to where you are now?
Sure. So I mentioned a little bit about that. After high school, I was able to start at college at the University of Arizona. And coming from a border town and a small school, it was just so petrifying to go into your first class and it's an intro math class or an intro psych class, and it's in an auditorium, and it's the size of your entire high school, right? And it's just one class. Mm-hmm. So I have to say that I did struggle with that. And then, you know, after my first year, I took a break from school and then went to my hometown and worked in the produce industry as, you know, an admin assistant. And even though I felt like, you know, I had failed at something, right? I really wanted to continue on with my studies, but it was a good experience for me because being in that environment just, to me, cemented the desire to continue on with my studies, with my education. Hmm. So I went the non-traditional route. I ended up getting married and then returning to school. So once I completed my studies, you know, life happens, and I started back in school at a community college. You know, my husband and I had moved up to the Phoenix area. And then when we relocated back to Tucson is when I started going back to the University of Arizona. And at that time, they didn't have an environmental science program. So I kind of have to figure out how I would be able to fit into that field and what kind of studies I should focus on. And so I ended up doing general biology and then a split minor in math, physics, and I forget the third one, chemistry. So I had originally selected chemistry as a major, and once I got into physical chemistry, I was just like, no, I think I'll switch to biology.
Wow, that's a lot of science classes, and I'm surprised to learn that there wasn't an environmental science major.
No, it was getting started at that time, but it just, well, actually, I graduated in 92, and at that fall is when they were going to start the program, so I just barely missed it. But once I graduated, I was lucky enough to get a position with Pima County Department of Environmental Quality. They were looking for environmental inspectors. And so that was my first foray into the field.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, you know, what kind of challenges did you face along the way? I mean, you said that you were kind of a non-traditional student, and I relate to that very much. And I'm wondering if you could speak more to that.
Being a little older when you're back in school, I don't want to say much older, but it's not right out of high school. And so, and you have other commitments. So I worked part-time as I was going through school. And so there were other responsibilities and just making sure that, you know, you're part of a unit, a partnership, and at home. And so you still have other obligations. And so, but I was very fortunate in that my family has been supportive, you know, and it is a partnership, and we kind of help each other out. And so I couldn't have accomplished what I have in my life through just doing it on my own. You know, clearly couldn't have done that. So yeah. I really appreciate my family's and close friends helping out when the need arose. And so when I, you know, after Pima College, I mean, Pima County, I heard about a position that the state was opening up to work in their newly formed border programs or border team. And so I applied for that position, and they needed someone that has some experience in doing hazardous waste inspections and also spoke Spanish because they were going to focus on the border area. And so that's when I started with the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality. And then I just stayed there. I really enjoyed border environmental work. And it seems to be a few members that kind of stay on in that topic area. There's so much to do, and it's challenging, but it's really rewarding once you actually get a project accomplished.
Yeah, so I would love to learn more about what that day-to-day looks like, you know, that work in hazardous waste inspections on the border. It just seems like it has so much of an overlap with environmental justice if you have that perspective. So it's not just the science behind it, but who it affects, I imagine, right?
Well, at that time, it was trying to get a handle on what was the volume or the type of flow of hazardous waste in the community itself, and then how there was interaction or you know, hazardous waste shipments coming across the border, if those were being transported correctly and that kind of thing, and, you know, collaborating with other officials. You know, there's so much waste coming from the twin plant industry or maquiladoras, and you come to find out, you go visit some of those maquiladoras, and they're, you know, they tend to be really efficient operations. Mm-hmm. So after starting off with that baseline, we started looking at how do you partner with some of these industries and doing pollution prevention instead of the compliance mentality, because obviously we don't have any enforcement capabilities across the border, but we did have how do we collaborate with other industries and kind of peer-to-peer mentoring or cooperating among like industries. And so that was really an exciting program to be involved in. Actually, as once we started working in collaboration with the maquiladora industry, I think at that time, some of the environmental health and safety professionals in those industries got together and formed their own sort of like their environmental health and safety association. So it was not just working with them in the professional setting, but kind of it was really rewarding to see how you started or how they started in formulating and just grew into this organization that still exists today. And they still help out newcomers that are in the field of environmental health and safety.
Oh, wow. That's so interesting. And I've really never heard that perspective before. I've heard a lot about the negative aspects of the maquiladoras on the border, and how much that's tied to contamination in the border region. But I'd never heard the perspective that you just shared about peer-to-peer mentorship as a strategy to try to improve practices. And I've heard a lot about the compliance issue, the regulation issue. It seems to be the case in both the U.S. and Mexico, where we have laws against things, but enforcement and the capacity to really monitor is limited. So it tends to fall short in that regard, right?
Right, right. Yeah, but I think there's a lot of great people out there, a lot of knowledgeable people, and folks that also live in the communities that work in those industries. And so, you know, I think in certain aspects, it's sort of, there tends to be a lot of mentality of us versus them. And it's just like, if we all help each other out and if we all do our little part, I think we could solve huge problems. You know, it's just a matter of the willingness to do that, mm-hmm. in my perspective.
Mm-hmm. I'm really interested to know what your professional goals are today.
Well, that's kind of it's a bit of a curveball for me at this point, right? Because I retired from government service in January, mm-hmm. and I miss the work. I miss the work a lot. You know, I really do. And I was at a stage where I just felt like it was time for somebody else to bring in their ideas and their ways of collaborating and, you know, to keep moving the needle forward. I think I had, you know, been so consumed with the work and I gave it my all, you know, and so I just don't feel like I had any regrets or that I left anything that I still wanted to do. And then the challenge for me now is, you know, my sister, after I retired, my sister and I had been talking for quite a while about doing something together. Like, you know, can we open up some kind of little, you know, business together and make that successful. And so towards the end of May, we opened up a little boutique here in Tucson and women's clothing and fashion jewelry. And it's a huge learning curve for us, but it's been fun, and it's been fun to be doing something together and getting to know each other better, know each other's strengths and weaknesses, and how do we partner. And it's just been a challenge, but exciting one as well.
Yeah, that sounds like such a new experience. I mean, kind of a big shift, a big pivot.
Very, very much so. It is. It's very much so. I've been a feminist at heart for many, many years. And so when I was in government service, I was much more of a proponent to mentor other women or other young ladies coming into the field. And I still do some of that, but from a totally different frame of mind and other angle. So I think I just still enjoy helping other people and watching them flourish. And if I can do something to help the next generation succeed in whatever their goals are, I really, that's what I enjoy more than anything.
I love that. And on that note of mentoring the next generation of people, what advice would you give to someone starting their career in your field, in the field that you did for so many years, and trying to do that work?
The advice I have is, if it's a passion for you, don't take no for an answer, but, you know, just be persistent. Be persistent, and things will work out for you. The other advice I can provide is, if you find a passion and you're so super hyped or focused on that passion, just make sure that you find a balance in your life. I tended to really focus on work and forget about balancing personal life needs. And so I think that's really important as well. And the younger generation seems to really appreciate that. So I'm glad to see that. But I would really advise young ladies, or young men and women both, you know, that are going into this environmental field, is just keep at it. You know, and sometimes things in this arena take a long time to solve. Just be patient and just know that every little bit that we're doing to help solve a problem is worth it, I think.
Yeah, those are great points. Be persistent, find balance, and be patient. Every little bit counts.
Exactly.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. We look forward to bringing you our next episode on Mujeres Fronterizas. Stay tuned. A big thank you to the Sky Island Alliance for their invaluable support in the development of this podcast. Special gratitude goes to Luis Mistal, Amy Amoroso, Denise Moreno Ramirez, Cristian Aguilar Murrieta, and Rick Mick for their outstanding contributions to the project.